I want to talk to you this morning about windshields and rearview mirrors. And we're going to connect that with the 49th anniversary of Harvest Baptist Church and Harvest Ministries. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you, but first I'd like to ask you to bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, it's a privilege to be able to open up your word this morning. And we step into this season of our service in some ways hesitant, yet with great boldness. We understand that your word is powerful and it's alive, and so we want to open our hearts to you. We also know that we're not guaranteed, you know, a next day or next Sunday. For all we know, this might be the last opportunity that we have, that I have, to speak into the hearts and the minds of those people that are here assembled. And so help us, Father, today not to waste that opportunity. So we ask for your blessing in what's done. Would our hearts hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. I hope you have a Bible open with you. We want to just walk down through this text and look at some key words and understand the big theme that the verses are talking about. From the driver's seat on my little truck, there's two things that are vital for me to be able to get to the destination I'm trying to get to. Number one is a clean, clear windshield. You got to be able to see out in front. And you also need an unobstructed view out the back through the rear view mirror, right? You need to be able to see what's coming and actually see what's maybe coming up from behind. If either outlook is impaired, we're going to be driving at a certain degree of risk. Well, here on Sunday morning, October 26, 2024, as we celebrate the 49th anniversary of Harvest Baptist Church, we're getting ready to launch into our 50th year. Can you believe that? And the Old Testament talks about the 50th year as the year of Jubilee. And that's what we're coming into. We're going to, next year, October 2025, we're going to celebrate our 50th year of ministry. It's going to be fantastic. We're talking about this in a pastor's meeting this morning, and Dr. Yeo said that the year of Jubilee means all debts are canceled. So we're going with that for sure. I want us to understand this morning that we're going to effectively guide our church and guide our ministries through the adventures and through the opportunities of a new year and of a new season. If we're going to effectively guide our lives, your life, through the adventures of a new year for you, we're going to need to have a clear view of both what's ahead of us as much as we can, and for sure of what's behind. It's always rewarding to look in the rearview mirror to see where we've come from. The past year has been an exciting year for us as a church. These are great days to be part of Harvest, and I'm thankful to be able to be walking this road with you as we're just seeing God's blessing in so many ways. And I think we're just touching the surface of what God wants to do here and in this place. But it's also important to make sure that we keep that mirror in place as well, or else we lose where we've come from. It's amazing, sometimes there's Christians that forget the foundations from where they've come from. You know, we all have kind of new ideas and new perspectives, and of course we want to, you know, go boldly into the future. But, you know, here at Harvest, we've had a generation, 49 years now, of people that have laid a foundation that's firm and sure and true on some really important things. And it's good for us. It's right for us to look back and see and know and sense and walk and build on that foundation. It gives us stability that we know can last because it's lasted, you know, through these years. But really, both are important. So what I want to do this morning is I want to just walk through these verses out of this chapter, Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to summarize the text in three main ideas. Each idea, we'll try to give you a Bible thought, Bible principle, and then the application. And I think these verses are just going to breathe out hope for you. Very clear teaching on how we should approach all of life. All right, here's thought number one. Starting in verse 16, if you want to look there, it's this idea: our time on this earth is limited. Man, have you gotten this in your mind wrapped around this idea? I mean, really gotten it? If you have, you'll know it because it'll change your whole perspective. It'll change your whole life if you really understand this idea and live it, that our time on this earth here is limited. The application that I want to make is I want you to understand the brevity of life principle. And not just understand it, you've got to own it. And here it is, listen closely to it. We're going to have to be very careful about how we live because our time on this earth is limited. Paul talks about time in verse 16. The fact is that we only have so much of it. And we find this actually true in many passages throughout the Bible. I want to ask you to turn back to just one of them. Would you look in your Bible at Psalm 90? Go back to your Old Testament. This is a really important text that I want you to read together with me from your Bible and maybe mark it. It will be familiar to you, but this will help you know where it's at. Psalm 90. In verse 10, the scripture says this: the days of our years are 70 years and 10. In the Bible, a score is 20. All right, so 3 times 20, if my math is okay, is 60. And 10, so 70 years. So the days of our years are 70 years, 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. All right, for some, it's going to be 80 years. If you have the health, normally 70, but there'll be going to be some that are going to have the strength, they're going to have the health, and they're going to have 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I mean, the writer says, most of us are going to have about 70 years. If you're strong, you might have 80, but the truth is those last 10 years are going to be likely going to have some struggle. The last 10 years of life, they're not just as strong. I'm starting to feel that already. I think I got more than 10. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Verse 12, look at this. So teach us to number our days. Count our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalm 39, verse 4 says, Lord, make me to know mine end. Help me to know when this is. And the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know, for some here, 70 or 80 years sounds like a long time. Every year, it just doesn't seem like that long to me anymore. I remember when I got this idea that our time on this earth is limited. I just finished seminary. Wow, that was whew. I can't even think of the word I want. That's a late night flight. I just finished seminary, maybe 25 or 26 years old, and Faith and I were busy with a bunch of stuff. It's that time of your life, and there's a lot of things going on, and in the middle of this time, when we're kind of figuring out life and marriage and getting ready to kind of launch into ministry, and in this time, God used some preaching, very specifically, and then some reading that I was doing, and then some other circumstances to just drive down this idea very deep into my soul. Hey, listen, Gary, don't you waste your life. Not one minute of it. And I thought, at that time, I thought the best years of my life were the next 10 years. In fact, I've said this before, I started praying this prayer and made this commitment at this time. A lot of things that God was kind of building into a life philosophy for me, and there was this idea that I was going to give the best years of my life to the two things that mattered most, my family and God's family. And that commitment really drove me. I mean, it's a daily decision. It drove my priorities. It drove my decisions. A lot of kind of stuff at that time. And it was connected with this idea because I don't know how much time I have, but I know that life is short. And so this commitment that You know, I thought the next years of my life, those were the best years of my life until I hit my 40s. And then I'm like, these are the best years of my life. Now in my 50s, I think these, what could be better than this? And I don't know about 60s, that might start going downhill. But and I remember God just saying, Gary, don't waste your life. A number of years ago, I Googled, life is short. And there's a site called the Death Clock. It's still there. Don't look it up right now, but you can look it up. I looked it up yesterday. And the Death Clock is just a little life calculator. And you can program your sex and your birth date. And then there's a couple other questions like mode. And I put in there that I was normal. I don't know. I might have to look back on that one. But that's what I put in, normal. It asks questions like whether you're pessimistic and optimistic or sadistic. And you put all that in. You put your BMI, your body mass index, into that. And you put all this into the calculator, into the clock. And from then, it'll tell you how much time you have left. And it actually has the seconds counting down. Don't do it now. Do it later. You can look it up. But that's what Psalm 90 tells us to do. Number our days. My calculator said that I'm going to live to be 96 years old, 3 months and 14 days. I thought that sounded a little optimistic. But if that was true, it told me that I had 14,832 days, 1 hour, 54 minutes, and 42 seconds. That was about 12 hours ago, so you'd have to cut it down from that. I think that is optimistic. So I worked it out myself with my own little calculator. And I think if I live to be 85, I think that's probably more realistic. That's kind of the lifespan of Walton. So let's just say I live to be 85. I made it to my 85th birthday. I have 10,250 days left to live. That's all. 10,250. I don't know if you think that's a lot or not very many, but the truth is I don't have a guarantee of even one more day to live. I don't know. James chapter 4, verse 13 says, come now, you who say, or like, come on. You who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. For what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I don't know how many years I have, and you don't either. I admit to being a pretty focused person. I have kind of a one-track mind if I have my mind on something. But I'll tell you this. I mean, this decision started back when I was 25 or 26 years old. And this has stayed with me. It's a burden that is burning in my soul. I know it comes out in my communication. But I am not interested in wasting my short years on things that don't really matter. I'm just not. Listen to this. In this room today, more than likely there will be someone who will not see October 2025. And you want to know the crazy thing about that? It won't have anything to do with age. You know what the average lifespan of someone on Guam is? I looked it up again. 2024 on Guam, average lifespan is 80.93, so 81 years. On Guam. It's actually been increasing over the last few years. Internationally, I mean, the averages are pretty similar. It's lower for men than for women, but 75 is the average lifespan for men kind of internationally, and 80 for ladies. And you know what that means? Just you guys, 75. You know what that means? Well, we know this. There's a bunch of guys that will live well past 75. So what else does that mean? Well, there's a whole bunch of us guys that aren't going to make it there at all. You just don't know, do you? There's no guarantee. And I'm not trying to be morbid here this morning. This the Bible teaches this. It teaches it in a number of places. The Bible says, number your days. You got to know that life is relatively short. Number your days in order that you could, not to be morbid, that's not what I'm trying to do here, but if you don't get this, then you won't be able to know how to apply your heart to wisdom. Let me apply this backing up. Verse 14 and 15, I think, help us. Verse 15 says, see then, right? Take heed, consider, stop and think. I mean, that's what we're doing here this morning. We are practicing this. See then, stop and think and consider this, that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly is an interesting word. I think the ESV translated it carefully. I think carefully is a good translation. Sometimes, though, the word circumspectly is kind of a hard word because we got to look it up, but it's actually a pretty specific word, and it's helpful, and I think it does actually give a good translation of what this means. So let me define it for you. Circumspect comes from two Latin words that mean looking around, right? So be aware of our surroundings. That's what the writer's teaching. In your car, a good driver is aware. They're looking around of what's going on around them, and that's the idea. And then the Greek word carries the idea of precision and accuracy. So it means that we walk looking around carefully. Not carelessly, but discerning, seeing what's going on around you. The opposite of this would be just drifting through life. Just letting life come. No guidance, no forethought. Listen, this is not how the Christian life is to be lived. We can't leave the Christian life to chance, just whatever comes my way. I'm just going to kind of live off of that. I think verses 14 and 15 are related. I think that helps us to understand it. Look back at verse 14. It says, wherefore he saith, awake you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Paul seems to be saying, don't walk in your sleep. Wake up. Open your eyes. Look around, consider where you've been, look at where you're going, think about your environment, make the choice to walk with purpose. Live your life with a purpose. Don't let it just come happen to you. You know, it's sad to see so many professing Christians just kind of drift through life, sort of like sleepwalkers. I think that's what he's saying. They're just kind of walking through. Seems like they're not really aware, just letting, you know, the steps take them where they would. Perhaps that's a good description of you today in your Christian walk. You've just been letting your Christian life happen. I've told you before that one of the great myths of spiritual growth and spiritual life is that you can just let it happen. You know, if you just attend church regularly, you know, you'll kind of get it. But listen, churches are filled with people who have attended services their entire lives, and they're still spiritual babies. The truth is this. Spiritual life and spiritual growth is intentional. It requires commitment and effort for us to grow. A person has to want to grow. You have to decide to grow. You have to make an effort to grow. So, is this a good description of you? Did you sleepwalk spiritually through the first three quarters of 2024? And if something doesn't change, is that where you're heading in 2025? If not, I mean, if you want to live abundantly and productively, we have to take heed. The writer says, stop and look around and quit sleepwalking and walk circumspectly. Over the last 6 years, I know I've asked a lot of you men something that I'm going to ask all of you this morning. I've said this to a lot of you that's going to be familiar to you. I've asked you to put yourself out, put your vision out 5 years. All right, October 26, 2029. Put it out that far. And if you can put yourself out there and then look back on the 5 years between now and that day, not looking forward to it, but you're looking back, what will you look back on and say, hey, this is what I've accomplished in the last 5 years that will count for eternity? If you keep walking the path, the direction, the journey that you're on, and you get 5 years out, and then you look back, what will you be able to look back and say, man, that was what I invested my life in, and it'll count, it'll last. And if it's all about your job and your retirement portfolio and maybe a few things about raising your family, I'm not trying to be harsh this morning. In fact, I want to be gentle, but I'm trying to be as passionate as the text is. And the text is a warning to us about the process of wasting your life. We could get to the end and look back and say, man, I don't know what's going to put in the column of the things that are going to last and go with me into eternity. I got all this other stuff, but that's going to stay behind. I want you to, number two, understand the window of opportunity principle. The idea of verse 16 is the word is to redeem. The idea of that is to buy back or to use it up. When you redeem a coupon, you use it for a purpose. What that tells us is that our time is precious. And we're going to have to, like a coupon, we're going to have to buy up every opportunity. We're going to have to buy up every moment, every minute, every hour, every day. We're going to have to buy it back up. We're going to have to redeem it. Can you think back on your life on some missed opportunities? Man, I can. You know, there's some decisions that we made, some decisions that I made that for any number of reasons, you look back now and you wonder, why didn't we do that when we had the chance? It's too late now. I can think of some missed windows of opportunities with my kids. I was able to spend just a little bit of time with three of our five kids this last couple of weeks. And I can tell you, I can stand before you honestly tell you, and I want to tell you this. I don't look back on the years of our kids being raised. I don't look back on them with big regrets. And that's not, it really is nothing to do with me. It is exactly about what I'm telling you, that there was a season in my life when I was 25 or 26 and getting ready to start this family, this beautiful family that God gave us, that I got serious about this. And so I didn't do this perfectly. I don't mean it in that way. But I don't look back on the years of our kids' life and live with a lot of regrets. But still, even with that, man, I look back on some windows of opportunity that I missed. And now I'm like, what in the world was I thinking? I've talked to some older guys and they would say, you know, I missed so many opportunities. I just didn't think work was going to survive without me. I spent 25 years, you know, kind of building the business or investing in the, and I don't misunderstand this. God wired us to work, man. I'm not criticizing that part of it. We ought to work. We ought to work hard. We can invest in a career. I'm not saying that. But listen, we got to make sure the priorities are right. And you can't ever get that time back. That window of opportunity. You know, for some of you here, there's a window of opportunity even just about your whole spiritual life. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure about your relationship with God, you don't know how long that window of opportunity will be open to you to respond to the Lord. If you sense the Holy Spirit convicting your life and in your heart, listen, don't wait. The windows of opportunity in our life, they happen, but they're not forever. And they stop, and all of a sudden, that window's not there. There are probably some here over the last few weeks. Maybe it's because you've been attending here at Harvest. Maybe there's other circumstances going on in your life. It could be all kinds of things. But you right now are sitting in a window of opportunity where you know God is like trying to get a hold of your attention, and he might be asking you for your life. A commitment of your life to Jesus as the Lord of your life. Listen, don't miss that opportunity. Here's thought number three, and some of you really need to listen to this. It might be the specific reason you're here this morning. It's this: get serious about God's plan for your life. Number one, our time in this earth is limited. Number two, understand the window of opportunity principle. And number three, get serious about God's plan for your life. Verse 17 says this: wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understanding, the word suggests using our minds to discover and to do the will of God. It means this: we better know what God's plan for our lives is. I'm not just talking about whether God wants you to be a fireman or a doctor or a lawyer or a school teacher or a construction worker or a businessman or whatever it is. I'm not talking about that. I think God wants to lead you in your path of life too, but that's not, I think, what this is talking about. But what is God's plan for your life in 2024 as you serve him as, you know, whatever God's opened the door up to you? What is God's plan for your life within these things? Listen, God has a plan for your life. And God wants you to know. He wants you to understand it. He wouldn't tell you to understand, verse 17, he wouldn't tell you to understand if he didn't want you to know. So, if we understand the brevity of life principle, and if we understand the window of opportunity, and if we understand that there's all kinds of things competing for our time and our attention, what do you think is God's plan for your life in 2024 and 2025? Can I make a couple suggestions for you just to consider as we think about God's will for your life? These are just really practical, but this is what the scripture says. I know that God wants you to establish your priorities. I'm assuming that since you're in church this morning, that you believe that God should be a part of your life. But when you establish your priorities, you have to decide just where he stands in your life. So we have to ask, who or what is most important in my life? And I'm hoping that your answer is going to be, well, my relationship with God is most important to me. And if that's so, then put that at the top of the list of your priorities and say, this will affect my decisions and my scheduling and my relationships with other people and my whole outlook on life. In fact, I would tell you, if that's true for you, if you would say that God is the top of my list, then it's going to affect two things very specifically. If God is first in my life, number one, I'm going to schedule some definite time each day to pray and read the word. It's got to be part of your life. If God is first, if that's going to be your priority, that's so critical for you in the Christian walk. And number two, second, if God is first in my life, when my church family gets together to worship God and to study his word, then neither rain nor shine, nor football kickoffs, nor soccer games, nor fishing trips, nor fill in the blank, none of that's going to interfere with me being in church because he comes first in my life. I'm going to worship the Lord and nothing will interfere with that. Jesus first. I mean, that's the idea. We're going to just keep talking about it. Jesus first. What does that mean? Well, the scripture calls us to give the first day of the week to him. It's kind of a first fruits. God, this day is yours. And I'm going to just show the rest of my life and everybody in it that my priority is here. I'm going to be with God's people. I'm going to be worshiping God. That's the priority of my life. Listen, it really is about priorities. Some of you, your challenge might be this, that I'm just going to make this commitment. I will be in church on the first day. No questions asked. I promise you that God will honor that commitment in your life. For some here, the next step for you might be, listen, I'm going to make a commitment to join a community group and be faithful to that gathering. There's a reason that we've chosen as a church to meet together on Sunday nights. We really feel that we need that time to grow and that time to fellowship. And it helps us to focus that complete day on God and on his word. So maybe part of your plan for next step is that I'm going to join a community group, or I'm going to be faithful in this coming year to the community group that I'm a part of. So priority number one is I'll worship the Lord and nothing will interfere with that. Second, I'm going to commit to spending time with my family. Men, some of you, you know, this commitment is going to be something that's very important for you. Spending time with your wife, scheduling time with your children. All right, so priority number one is God, number two is family, and priority number three is ministry. I think this is how the Bible talks about this. God has created you to be involved in ministry. God's given you gifts. He's given you talents, and therefore investing in eternal things. And so some of you, 2024 should be the year that you get involved in ministry. You know, maybe you need to commit to this church family in membership and then say, God, what do you want me to do? We talk about five commitments around here. You'd hear them in foundations. We're actually working through them in our community groups, just kind of talking through them a little bit. But these commitments that we sort of made together, they're the foundation of a healthy spiritual walk. And we talk about this commitment to be growing, to be faithful, to be serving, to be giving, and to be sharing my faith. And those commitments, we try to hold each other accountable to around here because these are the foundations, the disciplines of our Christian life as we try to walk together in Christ. But if you'll sit down and if you'll establish your priorities, it'll go a long way to help you to walk circumspectly. Let me read just one verse from Romans chapter 13, two verses. Romans 13, verse 11 says this, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand." Hey, listen, time is short. The evening's almost done. Daylight's about to come. "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." The writer of Romans is saying, listen, it's like you're sleeping and the alarm's going off. And it's saying, wake up. The night is past. The day is coming. Wake up. You know, every once in a while, we need a wake-up call. And I've been praying, really for a couple of weeks as I've been looking at this text, I've been praying that there would be those here this morning that would need a wake-up call. And when we have a wake-up call, you know, we got two choices. We can either hit the snooze or get up. That's it. And that really is the same for us spiritually. The wake-up call that I'm bringing out before you, kind of pouring out my heart here, is that you don't, you know, the brevity of life, it's short. And we're going to have to redeem the time. We're going to have to walk circumspectly in order for it to count. And I want to just with everything I have, I want to tell you, don't waste your life. I know this is one of the greatest passions of my life and of my ministry. I hope that I can communicate it with you without sounding like a broken record, but I'm going to keep saying it as often in as many ways as I can. Don't waste your life. That's the alarm. Don't waste a day. Don't waste this year. You've only got so much time. Hey, you men, someday you're going to stand before God. And I'm amazingly burdened for our harvest men that we would stand up and that we'd lead our families and that we'd lead our church. And there's going to be a day, I want to tell you, that you and I, we're going to stand before God. And I'm burdened. In fact, I think the Bible says this, that our pastors were responsible for you for this. You have to know this. And I'll be happy at that time that you might think, you know what, there were some seasons of my life that I kind of sleptwalked through some of that. But man, there was that part of my life. And maybe this message is part of it, guys. It's like I had a wake-up call. And I started looking at my life differently. And I started evaluating what mattered differently. I started investing my priorities in different ways. There was a time, you know, where there... That guy kind of got up a little in my business. And if that moment, then God will be able to look at you and say, well done. Not perfect, but man, you, well done. You invested your life in some stuff that really matters. I'm going to ask Andrew to come. Listen, for some this morning, some of us, this might be our wake-up call. Man, you 20-somethings, you are right where I was. Listen, don't waste these years. You're not going to get them back. Don't live up some kind of life that, you know, 10 years from now you look back and you're like, wow, what in the world was I thinking? You 30-somethings, frankly, you might have wasted some time and you're not going to get it back. But from here on out, I mean, you got a time now. You got to restart. You got the alarm's going off. So what's the next 10 years going to look like for you? And those of us that are 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 and 80, we just don't know how many days. Have you numbered them? So teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Can I tell you just one minute, for those of you here who have not ever personally experienced God's forgiveness, there's no guarantee that you will have tomorrow to seek after God. If you have not fully committed your life to Jesus as the Lord and as the leader of your life, if you've been leading your own life, I mean, I don't know. You don't know. There's no promise that this window of opportunity that God's calling you, and you feel that. You feel God's Spirit even now just pressing into your heart saying, I haven't given my life to Jesus. There's no guarantee you can have another chance. I talk to people, and it's not unusual. If I ask somebody how things are with God, they'll say something like, well, I hope things are okay. That's not enough. You need to know. And I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk to you about it today. I want to talk to you about it sometime this week. I want to connect you with somebody else that will talk with you about it. Don't put that off. That's a decision. You got to figure that out. You got to find out what God's word has to say about that. If you're here this morning, you're kind of feeling that pressure of, I'm not sure about my relationship with God. Listen, redeem the time. In just a minute, we're going to close the service and I'm going to have you pray, and I'm going to be very clear on this. I'm going to ask some that are not sure that they have a relationship with Jesus if you'd raise your hand. And when you raise your hand, all that is so I can see you, and then I'm going to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. But I want to ask you in just a minute, and then I want to ask you to come talk to me after the service. Or you can come talk to one of the pastors here at the front. But listen, don't leave that time and go on. God's ringing that bell for you. Respond to him this morning. There's no guarantee that you'll see tomorrow to seek God. So say yes to him today. Would you bow your heads with me? I've got two questions for you. One, I just mentioned. I wonder if you're here this morning, you'd say, hey, I'm one of those people that my answer would be, I hope things are okay with God, but I don't know for sure. Pastor Gary, would you pray for me about that? Would you just boldly, courageously lift up your hand? Let me pray for you. It's just me looking around. Our pastors are around as well, but nobody else. I don't know that I have a relationship with God. Pastor, would you pray for me? Second question. I know for sure that there's some here that this is a wake-up call. And I know that because God pressed this burden, this timing into us, and he brought you here. That's not a coincidence. And you're just saying, man, I need to do a better job of investing my time and my life in the coming year. 2024 could have been better. And I don't want to get to the end of this year and feel like it's just another 365 days that I haven't really invested them. This is my wake-up call, and I want to commit to the priorities that would be God's eternal priorities. Would you just lift up your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. All across the room. Thank you. Thank you. Just lift up your hand. Put it down. It's good for us to kind of say, God's working in my heart. I want somebody to pray with me. Pray for me. Father, we thank you for the good work of your word and of your spirit. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of a church now for 49 years has faithfully proclaimed this message of Jesus and the hope that he brings and the focus and the purpose that he brings to life. I pray today for those that you've touched their heart. I pray it'd be a turning point for some, like it was for me. I listened to a message like this, a couple of them actually, at a very important time of my life, and it set my direction. I pray that that would be true for some others today. Would it impact their next 25 years and 35 years? I pray for some that might feel a little bit bad, like, man, I've wasted a lot of my life. Lord, help them to know that the next season is open. It's a window of opportunity. I pray that you'd help them to have hope and invest these years in the things that matter. So we thank you for your leading, for your speaking to us today. In Jesus' name.